Taking your Bibles, please join me in Exodus 16. We have a rich reading tonight from Exodus 16, followed immediately by a couple verses from Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, the third and the fourth petition there. Let us do pray. Almighty God and Father, we now ask for your blessing upon the reading of your word and its preaching. We ask that you, Lord, would come to help us. Help us hear, help us believe, help us obey. Father, if we are not helped by you, there is no help for us. So, Lord, we ask that you'd come. We have nothing but what you can give us. Give us, O Lord, grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 16, the bread of heaven. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Zin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we, that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less, but when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name Manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And omer is the 10th part of an ephah. Matthew 6, verse 10 and 11. "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you have noticed this yet, but the human race keeps eating food that has been grown from the earth, and we keep dying from it. Is there a connection? We cannot stay alive without eating, but the stuff we keep eating makes us grow old. It allows diseases to enter our bodies, and eventually it even makes our organs fail, and we die. On one hand, we need food that the earth supplies, but on the other hand, the food the earth supplies keeps killing us. Now, I admit, I am putting a little bit of flair on that point. Our dying, of course, also has much to do with our own bodies and the weakness that sin has brought into our bodies. But there is something quite true about the statement that the earth is slowly killing us. In Genesis 3:17, the Lord God announces to Adam the dimensions of the curse that Adam's sin has brought upon the human race. The Lord says, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken." What this means, beloved, is that we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life when we fell in sin. We deserve to be completely deprived of outward blessings from God. And we deserve to have those blessings become curses to us as we use them. This is what our falling into sin has brought to us. How does our Lord Jesus want us to humbly acknowledge all of these truths? By praying, give us this day our daily bread. That's how we acknowledge it. That's how we confess it. That's how we honor the truth of the depths to which our race has fallen and what the earth has become to us because of sin. We confess and acknowledge by praying, give us this day our daily bread. By that petition, we humbly acknowledge that because of our original sin and our actual sins, we do not even deserve bread. So we have to ask for it. We do not even deserve that the bread we get would be helpful to our body or tasty to our mouth. So we must ask God to give us what we do not deserve. You can see this fully explained in the Westminster Larger Catechism as it exposits this fourth petition. In Adam, we do not deserve to live off the earth. But in Christ, we are urged to call on God as our Father. In Christ, we are urged to ask God for everything to live, asking Him for daily mercies to sustain our life in the body and to have those mercies not be a curse to us. Now, what are we really praying for when we pray for our daily bread? What if somebody shrugs and say, well, I don't even like bread? Well, that cheeky little one should sit down and listen if they say that. They like bread more than they know, because bread represents all that you need to sustain your life in the body. Bread in this petition represents every good thing we could need for this life. By this petition, we are praying for health. Yes, we are. For God is our life and the length of our days, it says in Deuteronomy 30:20. By this petition, we are praying for success in our callings. Whether you are a plumber, a trucker, an officer in a company, establish thou the work of our hands upon us, it says in Psalm 90:17. Remember what we have learned about these petitions. They are everywhere in the Bible, everywhere in the Scripture. Give us this day our daily bread is a door that opens to 1,000 doors of petition for sustaining life. Are we praying for sleep in this petition? Absolutely. For so he giveth his beloved sleep, it says in Psalm 127, verse 2. Are we even praying for seasonal weather in this petition? We heard earlier about how a woman named Sue is benefiting from the weather. We are even praying for the weather in this petition. Zechariah 10:1. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field. So, when we ask for daily bread, we are not just asking for bread that you slice and toast and put butter upon. We're asking for everything that would sustain our life in this age. Now, what happens to us when we do not ask for our daily bread? What happens is we begin to think evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts take more and more control of our entire outlook on life. In Deuteronomy 8, the people of God are about to enter the promised land in Canaan. In 8:16, God reminds them how he gave them manna on a daily basis, their daily bread. He reminds them about it, that he gave it to them in the wilderness to humble them, to test them, and to do good to them. And then he says this, beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Beloved, when we do not pray for our daily bread, we are training ourselves to forget God. Not praying this fourth petition, being silent on this fourth petition, is a kind of demonic self-discipleship that matures in forgetting who God is. Not forgetting his name, not forgetting that you once went to church, but forgetting that God is the one who gives you anything you have, even a straight backbone, a hand that can close around a rake and make $15 on a yard, even an eye that can see to get out of the road. God gives it to you all. When we do not pray this petition, we are slowly bathing our hearts in pride and self-sufficiency. Examine yourself. Do you ask for the things you have? Or do you just say thank you and never ask? Or do you not even say thank you? Pride, self-sufficiency, and we start then to think that we have provided for ourselves. We start to think we're self-made men. Our job and our ability to do our job, our property and our ability to maintain our property, our groceries and our ability to buy our groceries, store our groceries, ration our groceries, eat our groceries. We start to think we have done it all. And the best, most excellent proof that we might have come to think that is not that we have said that, but that we have been silent in asking for God to give us our daily bread. The reason we stop asking for our daily bread is because somewhere along the way we start congratulating ourselves, honoring ourselves, hoping in ourselves for all that we have in this life. Now, of course, we sometimes have far more bread than just our daily portion. I would venture to guess that that's true of all of us. I think everyone in this room probably has enough bread to survive more than just one day. That is not the case for everyone living on planet Earth on this day, but it is probably the case for each of us. And sometimes that is exactly what God wills, that we have far more bread than a daily portion. Sometimes we have a weekly portion, or a yearly portion, or even a decade's portion. I know some retired people that have such a great portion of bread that they could live another entire life. That's how much they have. Is having so much more than a day's portion, is it a sign from God that we no longer need to pray for our daily bread? It is no such sign, is it? If anything, having so much is a sign to us that God often gives us far more than we ask and than we deserve. That's what it's a sign of. Isn't that exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 3:20? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. What Paul has just said means you should never fear just asking for daily bread. You should constrain yourself to only asking for daily bread, but you should never fear, because God gives us more than we ask. But God's generosity is not a sign to abandon the place of humility and neediness that comes forth in asking for only a day's portion, one day at a time. Besides, it is not enough to just have stores of bread and stores of money saved up for weeks or months or years. Listen, that is not enough. It would be terrible for you to only have storehouses of bread and storehouses of money and storehouses of homes and cars. It would be terrible for you if that's all you had. As John Flavel so wisely said, this fourth petition is not just that we might have bread. It is a petition that we would, that everything we have would be bread to us. Now that sounds like double talk, right? Well, he's making a very important point here. It is not a petition that we would just have bread. It is a petition that all that we have would be bread. What Flavel means is that unless God blesses the bread we have, the bread we have becomes ashes to us, not sustenance. It becomes worms to us, not wheat. It becomes trash to us if God doesn't bless it. Trash, not treasure, no matter how much of it we have. Without God's blessing, our money, our home, our clothing, all becomes a devilish snare to us. Without God's blessing, all of these things would ruin our faith, ruin our love, ruin our hope. Without God's blessing, your television will help you apostatize and abandon Christ. Without God's blessing, the best furniture in your house would lead you away from God and keep you from praying. Without God's blessing, the best food in your house would make you forget God instead of remember Him. We are praying for God to give the blessing with the bread. So when we pray for God to give us a competent daily portion, as our catechism explains it, a competent daily portion of good things of this life, when we pray this, we are asking for those things only so that we might give this living life to God and not ourselves. We ask for these things not to flee from God, but to draw nearer to God. Paul says this in Romans 14, if we live, which requires bread, right? Let me know if you can do that without bread, because we want to talk, you, me, Elon Musk, we have a fortune to make. If you can live without bread, Paul says, if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That is what daily bread is for. Nothing else. We must remember that the third petition, verse 10, is in perfect accord with the fourth petition. Thy will be done. Give us daily bread. Give us our daily bread. In other words, give us our daily bread so we might do thy will, O God. Well, now we might take off on a little footnote here and ask the question, why is it ours? Why would the Lord Jesus say it's ours? Is this a mere formality of grammar? I don't think so. And neither do some of the finest Bible scholars. It is ours because, as Paul tells the Corinthians, in Christ all things now are ours. This is the daily bread of the covenant. That God, now having united us to Christ, Paul says, the world is yours. Paul is yours. Life is yours. Death is yours. Everything on the earth, beloved, let your mind be boggled. Everything on the earth is yours. Cars are yours. The internet is yours. Planes are yours. Passports are yours. Governments are yours. Is there any other people on the earth today who have been seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, who partake of his dominion over all the things of the earth? Paul tells the Corinthians, in Christ all things are yours. So the bread the food, the shelter, the clothing, it's all yours. Not to lead you away from God to do your own thing, but to have you do God's thing and glorify and enjoy Him. Now let's take up another question. Does this petition teach us that we should not pray for riches? Yes, it does teach us that. Beloved, this petition right here teaches you that you must not pray for riches. You are to pray for a daily portion of bread. It's quite peculiar. Even if we have more than a daily portion, we are not encouraged to ask for more than that, and never are we encouraged to ask for less than that, no matter how much we have, which we already labored that point. But we are not to ask for riches. Oh God, give me a half a life's worth of bread. That is not allowed. That is not what Christ would have our hearts be tuned for. Because riches, beloved, you know it. Jesus told you, they are a snare and they are a trap to most men. We should not ask for in prayer for that which helps so many on their way to hell. It's not the riches' fault, but the riches are like the law. They are both part of nature. They are both part of creation. Riches in the hands of sinners will often lead sinners to hell. And so our Savior says in Matthew 19, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Who would argue with him? Who would say he doesn't really understand? It is we who don't understand until we agree with him. Right after he said these things, though, the disciples were so flabbergasted, so gobsmacked, so boggled, is there another word? They said, "Who then can be saved?" You see, they heard him right. Their question reveals they heard him. And so he answered, "With man this is impossible. Put riches in the pockets of a man, man and riches, hellfire. But with God," Jesus said, "all things are possible." And so we have rich people in the kingdom of God, and they are not like the rich who are on their way to hell. So we are not to pray for riches. Proverbs 30, verse 8, gives us the prayer as it concerns riches. And this prayer, too, is under the heading of the fourth petition. "Give me neither poverty nor riches." That's the prayer. "Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. The petition before us is perfectly tuned to bring us contentment. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 6? "If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." Now, so we have so much more than that, don't we? And for some reason, we're not always content having so much more. What's the secret? How is it that I have more than food and clothing and I'm not content? The secret is actually quite simple, isn't it? The secret is to be so schooled in the school of Christ that we have only been asking for a daily portion of these things. And so that when we have more of them, we keep only asking for a daily portion. And then we look and we still have more than a daily portion. But we keep only asking for a daily portion. Then we look again and we have more than a daily portion. And our fellowship with God over this petition makes us always amazed and a bit chagrined and humble and generous, because we each day we come away only asking for a daily portion, and we have a pile, and we are glad to give it away and use it for the glory of God. Beloved, our Lord Jesus is teaching us not only how to pray, but the how to pray that he teaches us disciples us. It's formative to pray this way. To pray a wee little prayer for a wee little portion is necessary for you to know how Jesus Christ made his pilgrimage through this age, a present evil age. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had not a place for his head. You do. He doesn't begrudge you that you have a house. But beloved, he would have you formed and shaped under these petitions so that you could be free and not a slave to things that are passing away, not a slave to creational gods that men worship and chase, that you would be free of them and give testimony to how you can walk so free.